Hello and welcome back to another episode here on Authentic Spoon Nutrition. I'm your host, Tess Keatley, an accredited practicing dietitian. This podcast is for anyone who's interested in learning about nutrition, business for health professionals, and also this year I'm changing things up and having authentic conversations with people who really inspire me. Today, I had the pleasure of interviewing Bronwyn Della Vina. Now, I've been connected with Bronwyn over the last few years via Instagram, and we've met in person a few times as well. On Instagram, what you see is what you get. She is so transparent and authentic, and I love how real she is online. She is exactly what you see online as to in person. In a room, she's one of those people who is lifting the whole vibe up in the room, bringing positivity and just helping people around her just be better people. And you will see that today in this podcast. Sorry, you will listen to that today in this podcast. Today, Bronwyn shares her personal experience with IVF, and she also shares her recent experiences with miscarriages. So we do discuss some vulnerable topics today, so if you're not in the best mindset to listen today, maybe return at a later date. I hope you guys enjoy the podcast and know that you do not have to suffer in silence if you are or have been through something similar. I would also like to apologize in advance. There are some parts throughout the podcast where you can hear Lenny barking. Zach was playing with her and didn't realize I was recording a podcast, so I apologize in advance. Welcome, Bron. How are you today?
Very good. Very relaxed today, actually. This is a cruisy day for me.
Yeah, it's a bit rainy here too. It's actually quite cold. Yeah. I've got my tea ready for a chat. Let's get started. So obviously I'm a foodie and I like asking everyone this question, but if you had to pick one food for the rest of your life that you could only eat, what would it be and why?
When I looked over this question, I'm like, oh my God, she's going to hate my answer. But if, for me, it's canned spaghetti.
Oh my God.
That's so bad.
On a jaffle or like, plain?
No, I can have it any which way. I can have it like room temperature, heated up, or even cold. So like my guilty pleasure is having it in the fridge and eating it straight from the can. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, she's a dietitian. She's going to hate me for this, but it is just one of those things that
Whatever works. That's so funny. I remember we used to do it in a jaffle with cheese, and that was like such a good food to eat after we did swim training when we were younger. So there we go, canned spaghetti girl. Oh, I'm not going to forget that one. Oh. All right, so for the listeners, can you tell us a little bit about who you are? What's your background? Did you grow up on the Sunshine Coast?
Yeah, so I moved to the Sunny Coast 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Originally moved up from Sydney. Army family turned restaurant owner family down in Noosa. And then gradually my parents got out of that restaurant. We moved up to the coast in Mooloolaba. Parents were doing still army work, and then my dad ended up moving. My parents separated, so my dad ended up moving, and I was like, nah, I'm staying on the coast. Mm-hmm. And went to two different schools on the coast and been here ever since, and met my husband when I was 14. Mm-hmm. Not that we were together when we were 14. And started a family, had a couple of businesses. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's kind of where it all started, really. And I just never want to leave. I love the coast. It's my home.
We're so lucky to live here, aren't we? It's beautiful.
We say it every day. Even going for a walk down the Mooloolaba Beach, we're like, how is this our home?
Yeah.
It is so beautiful.
So lucky. So you've got two boys, Ray and Mac.
Yes.
How old are they?
So Ray is 6, turning 7 very soon, and Mac has just turned 5.
Cool.
So very close.
Happy
very
birthday close to age. Mac for recently then. So what are their personalities like?
Oh, gosh. So Ray is just the biggest lover. So he's my oldest son, and he's just the most generous lover ever. He's so beautiful. And then Mac, he's like a little tornado. He is such full of energy, but also has like this real cuddly spot about him. They're beautiful.
I absolutely love that. Beautiful boys. Little tornado. I think I'd be more like him. So what's your husband's name?
Tony.
Is Tony still doing FIFO?
Yeah, so with everything that happened with COVID-19, the borders are still not open. So he's basically just plodding around and doing housework, done a couple of jobs for people. But other than that, we're just basically waiting for the borders to open.
Yeah. How's that having him home? That would be different from, obviously.
I know.
Are you we've getting sick of him yet? Or? Years. Yeah.
Well, you'd think so, but I love it. Like, it's such a difference from being at home by myself with the boys and then just having that extra pair of hands to just do other things, like, you know, even bathing.
Yeah.
Sounds so simple, but it just makes such a difference.
You
so,
won't want him to go back.
No, well, I said that to him the other day. Honestly, I in our whole FIFO career life family, you know, set up, I've never said to him, I don't want you to go back.
Yeah.
Until just recently, with having two businesses now, busy household, I'm like, I don't think you can go back. I don't know how I'm going to
How you manage, really. definitely. So what are some of your interests? Like, what do you guys do for fun as a family?
Oh, gosh, we go fishing. Fishing is our life. Our boys absolutely love it. Tony is obsessed. Actually, one of our very first few dates, me and Tony, we went fishing. That's just our thing.
That's so cool. I love fishing too. Yeah. Maybe I can join the family fishing adventure because Zach's not the greatest fisher. sorry, Zach, if you're listening.
I don't see Tony catching too many, but he definitely does. It rigs us all up constantly and puts bait on our hooks.
It's all the experience, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So tell us about your businesses, so your work history. So I originally met you when you were doing Indira beads.
Yep, that's correct.
Yep.
Yeah, so I started doing Indira beads back in 2015, 16, one of the two. And that was just straight off maternity leave, basically, husband away, and I just really wanted to be creative. Mm-hmm. And because my children were still so young and using products like that, I thought, you know what, I want to do this. And it just turned into this amazing business, which I sold off February last year to a beautiful woman named Hannah. And then after that, I thought, you know, I'm going to really focus my time on studying. And at that point, I wanted to do hypnotherapy. Because I've had hypnotherapy done to myself, I just love the effects of it. But then it kind of just like shifted in all different ways and I ended up becoming a Reiki practitioner. So I thought, I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to send Reiki healing to as many people as I possibly can. And right when I launched the business, I fell pregnant and extremely sick with hypomimesis gravidarum. And if you don't know what that is, it's acute morning sickness. So highly medicated, drips, you name it, it's not fun, not a fun time. So I had to change my business around a little bit where I had to do a lot of distance Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And that was calling people from literally all over the world, sending Reiki healing that way. Then, unfortunately, we did lose our baby at 11 weeks pregnant. And in that time, I had my beautiful friend Belle, who was my doula for Ray's birth.
Mm-hmm.
And she supported me through the whole time. And actually, the day before we found out Sage's heart stopped beating, I applied to start doing a doula training.
Wow.
I just love doulas. They're just so amazing. And then, unfortunately, all the losing Sage happened. And I remember messaging Belle and I said, I want to do what you do. I want to do it. And she's been a doula on the coast for going on 11 years now. And she said, I have been waiting for this. I've been manifesting this to have a business partner. Would you like to be my business partner? And I was like, yes. So now I am in business with Belle at Sunshine Coast Doula Services.
That's so exciting.
And training as well.
So it's like, it's like obviously you've gone through a really, sorry about this, you can probably hear my dog in the background. Zach's just gotten
home.
Hear
mine.
So obviously you went through a really hard time losing Sage and she was there and it seemed like a silver lining of a really hard situation for you. So it's kind of fallen into place. Yeah,
it did. And I was once told by someone that your daughter will give you your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And being a mum of only two boys, I thought, when's that going to happen? And it just so happened that it did. It brought me and Belle back together and has guided me on this path.
Yeah, wow, that's so amazing. So when you were pregnant, did you know that Sage was going to be a girl? Did you have a feeling that she was, or...?
Yeah, since the day we had her embryo transfer, I didn't want to say it out loud because I have a really bad trait of jinxing myself.
Yeah.
So I only kept it to myself, Tony and the boys. But even from the day that we had transfer, I was holding my belly and saying, baby girl. And it wasn't until we officially found out, which was the day that her heart stopped beating, I just knew. So I was buying stuff for her even before I knew she was a girl.
I feel like, obviously I don't have any children or I haven't been pregnant, but I'm a big believer in kind of that intuition feeling as well. So I can fully, I see that. Bringing back now, so Sage was conceived through IVF. So did you, with Ray and Mac, were they IVF as well or?
No, and this is the confusing part, and this is secondary infertility. With Ray and Mac, very easy. Actually, Ray was straight away, and Mac was between 4 to 5 months. So I'm just going to have a quick drink at the same time.
You're right.
So when we went for round three, third child, we expected to have a nice age gap like the boys are. And it wasn't until I was about a year and a half in, we're like, something's not right. Like, this was so easy with the boys. What's going on here? And after many tests, having PCOS, having a FIFO husband, not ovulating correctly, we started 6 months of letrozole, which is kind of like a Clomid ovulation enhancer, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, that didn't happen. So then we went onto IVF. I didn't want to do an IUI because I just wanted something a little bit more guaranteed, I suppose. And the naive me thought, oh yeah, I'll do it in one round. I'll get pregnant on the first round. And no. And now we're going on to our fifth round of IVF.
So for the listeners who aren't really familiar with what IVF is, can you tell us a little bit about what's involved when you start IVF?
Yeah, well, firstly, realizing that something's not quite right, to be honest, and it takes women quite a while because with going for IVF, they expect you to naturally try for 12 months before booking an appointment with a fertility specialist. From there, there's many different options you can go down. So obviously they'll do your generic testing, I suppose you could say, where they have a list of things to rule out different things, like endometriosis, PCOS, sperm count, all that kind of stuff. Then from there, they will give you options. So there might be an IUI, which is getting the semen and popping it into the cervix, into the uterus. Then there is IVF, and there's two different types of IVF where mine, for instance, is putting this basically in a tray, putting the eggs and the sperm in a tray and letting them go to town, basically. Or there's the other style where they actually inject the sperm into the egg. So that can usually be for like slow sperm, low count sperm, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, we did do the letrozole, so ovulation. We didn't do IUI because I didn't really like the guarantees.
Mm.
So we went straight to IVF, and from there we had more testing done. I had a high COSI, which basically checks to see that your fallopian tubes are clear. And my husband got tested, and from there they got to do a plan, and we chose bulk build. So the amazing thing about Australia is they have bulk build IVF available, so you're not paying the tens of thousands of dollars as you would in other countries.
Oh wow, or, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's only for like a select few and circumstances. Unfortunately, I wish it was available for everybody, but we were just one of those lucky ones that
fit the criteria.
We fit the criteria, and so from there we had an egg retrieval, which I did awake. We only did it awake because we don't have private health insurance for pregnancy and fertility. So I thought, you know, being the strong person I thought I was, I won't go under. And I got the happy gas and probably.
Was it painful?
Not the best at it. It wasn't great. It wasn't great. I then was silly enough to do it again. with another egg retrieval, and that one wasn't pleasant at all. I think because I knew what to expect, the fear got me. Yeah. Definitely the fear got me.
But sometimes it's harder going back in for the second time of something, like getting your legs waxed. I know it's nothing similar to what you just did, but you know what you're in for, so you can psych yourself out.
Yeah, so true. So then after we had the egg retrieval, obviously we needed good eggs, and then we did a 3-day fresh transfer. So they put the sperm with the eggs, we got little embryos, and we grew them to 3 days, and then we had them planted back in me. Then with the remaining, they wait till 5 days to make sure that they're viable for freezing, and then the rest of those embryos are frozen for a frozen transfer. Now, for me personally, so far I've had 4 IVF transfers, 2 fresh and 2 frozen, and the frozen 5-day embryos are the ones that have just taken for me.
Yeah, okay.
So they just seem to work better on me. So our last embryo we have left for our 5th round is a little 5-day frozen embryo as well.
Oh, well, I honestly wish you all of the best with that. And I'm praying and everyone is praying for you with that. So, so when you're going through the process, are there any kind of symptoms that you get with the IVF?
Yeah, so with the injections, you get extremely bloated. I looked pregnant before I was even pregnant, and the tender boobs, the cramping, sometimes you can get bleeding as well because some of the medications you use can irritate the cervix, and the bloating. I'm just going to say, repeat that, the bloating is phenomenal. Headaches, which you can get from the Serenol nasal spray. But yeah, mood swings, lots of mood swings.
So like PMS, but on steroids and a lot worse.
Yeah, I think my husband was thankful that he was working away so much.
He ran for the hills.
Basically.
So if anyone's listening and they're considering, like they're about to start IVF, what advice would you have for women?
Patience is a word that has kind of been my word for a couple of years. And I think with these things, IVF, you feel like a walking calendar. So you have to wait for certain days. And the emotions with IVF is not just the baby itself. It's the emotions you go through for each stage. So you got to have enough follicles to have a egg retrieval. If that doesn't happen, you're back at square one. Then when you get your eggs, you have to make sure that they last to become an embryo with the sperm. If that doesn't happen, you're back to square one again. And then it just goes on. There's so many. It's like you're climbing. It's like you're playing a game of snakes and ladders, basically. Mm. You climb up one ladder, but you might catch a snake and go right down to the start again. And that happens so often. So just patience with the process is the best advice I could give. Cry if you need to, share what you're going through. You'll be so surprised how many supportive people around you can help and just want to listen. Don't be ashamed or afraid to express what you're going through.
That's such great advice, and that's what I find really inspiring about you and what you're doing, is that you're very open and transparent with your audience on Instagram about your journey. And I feel like it gives people then space to feel more supported in what they're going through as well. Like even if they're not going through IVF, other things in their life, that it gives them that opportunity then to feel accepted, and it's okay to talk about things that are hard. So yeah, that's
absolutely
what inspired me to get you on the podcast, because every time you post something, I'm just like, oh, that is so amazing. And it's, yeah, it's very captivating what you're doing. So you should be really proud of it. And I know it's really hard to share some of the things that you're sharing. So yeah, it's a lot of courage and it's amazing.
I just know that there's some women out there that are going through these things silently. And that's where I feel like if I can speak up, hopefully they can get a bit of closure and not feel so alone. They can be like, hey, I'm going through exactly that. I'm actually not alone in this. So someone actually understands me, and that's what I want people to take. Yeah, I've had a pretty rough trot with IVF and making babies, but if I can bring something better out of this, then I will.
For me, growing up as well, I felt like miscarriages were not spoken about. And I don't know if that was just me being young and naive, but I probably had one friend when I was in primary school into high school who, you know, her mum lost a baby when she was, you know, younger. But it was something that was never spoken about, and there was not a lot of conversation around as well. Do you find that nowadays there is more people talking about it?
Absolutely. I think social media takes a massive part in it as well, because everyone has their freedom of speech on social media. And it builds confidence in women too, to speak openly, like it has for me. I've noticed, and I've had a lot of women, contact me and say, oh, I wish I expressed myself the way that you did when you had your miscarriage. I think I would have felt a lot better about it.
Mm.
And that in itself just breaks my heart that they didn't get that space or time to open up about it, because having a loss is, there's no word. I can't say bad, because it's worse than bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, it breaks my heart that women go through this stuff silently.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you and I might have the same kind of healing ways in terms of that we're talkers. Would you agree that for you to heal, you have to talk about it? I'm definitely the same.
You can't shut me up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's what I say. And I said this to you before we started. Talking openly is my therapy.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
And I think it should be for everyone, because if we don't express ourselves, we hold those emotions in and they just get bigger and bigger until they explode.
Yeah, they bottle up. So even if someone who might have a different healing strategy, who's not a talker, they might find a bit of comfort in, you know, following along your journey and everything. Yeah, so for the listeners, what's your Instagram handle so people can find you?
So it's Bron, B-R-O-N, underscore my last name, De La Vuna.
Yep.
D-E-L-A-I-V-U-N-A. A bit of a hard one.
Yeah. So if you're listening, I highly recommend following Bron's Instagram. Would you, if you feel comfortable, Bron, would you mind sharing the story with your miscarriage with Sage?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had her transfer, it'd probably be about 16 weeks ago now. I think it'd be about 16 weeks ago. So everything was perfect. We got the positive pregnancy test, we got the positive blood test, and everything was going well. Now, I did have a previous miscarriage in November last year, which started as bleeding. And I started bleeding again. And I basically lost my shit. I was like, again, are you kidding me? Again. And this was around 8 weeks pregnant. So went into it. Got checked. Everything was perfect. My obstetrician, Kirsten Morrow, is absolutely amazing. If you guys are local and you need an obstetrician, go to her, because she's beautiful. She allowed me to have weekly ultrasounds because she knew that I was nervous. And everything was tracking great. I was sick as a dog. I didn't leave my bedroom for about 10 weeks. And it was the first day that Tony was actually allowed to go with me to an ultrasound. With everything with COVID happening, the partners weren't allowed to be there. He wasn't even allowed there for my embryo transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So the first day he was allowed to come, I was like, yes, I'm so excited he actually gets to see baby, because Sage was sizable at this time as well. So we went in, laid me down on the table, put the ultrasound machine on, and I just knew instantly. I knew straight away, because she wasn't moving. I couldn't see a heartbeat. And I knew before she said it, and I just remember her saying, it doesn't look like Bubby's heart's beating anymore. And it felt like I was in a movie. And mind you, myself and my husband were both filming the screens and me at the same time.
Oh, no.
So to have that, I've looked at the recording and it's just broken my heart again, but to have that recording, it's just like, yeah, replay of the moment. And like I said, it felt like we were in a movie, basically. And I was like, how is this happening? How is this honestly happening? So from there, we had to get a second ultrasound done to confirm again, which I already knew. And then I was given two tablets to put in vaginally, and it was going to induce labor. I wanted to have her at home. Sorry, my throat is so tickly.
You're right. Mm.
So we went back home and basically waited for labor to start. I didn't get any labor, no pains, no bleeding, nothing. So the next morning I'd had enough. I was up until 3-4 o'clock in the morning, still being sick because baby was still there. I was still getting the symptoms of hypermenorrhagic scurvy arm to a point where I'm vomiting bile and blood and all that. It's not great. So the next morning I called my obstetrician and she booked me in to have a DMC, which is basically removing the fetus from the womb surgery. So I went in and they removed her. I did make a special request to take her home, which, mind you, was a bit harder than I thought. There was a lot of ums and ahs about it, but I got to take her home. And we had a cremation for her, and that was basically it. They said that if I was to leave her at the hospital, she would have had more testing done. But for me personally, I needed to take her home. So that's how it all basically went down.
Wow. I don't even know where to begin. That is... yeah, that's heartbreaking. And how do you move forward from that?
I don't think you ever do. You just carry on each day. And I know Sage was only 11 weeks gestation, but she made such a big impact in my life. And for me, moving on has been starting a business. Mm-hmm. Still think of her every single day. I don't want to say moving on, but moving forward, if that makes sense. So, remembering, not forgetting.
Yeah, definitely. And you will never forget. And also, she's obviously had such a big impact on your life in such a short time, and she will continue to do that moving forward. You know, you said earlier that she helped you realize your purpose in terms of starting your new business with Belle and everything. So, how, what are you doing now to help you heal through this time?
Reiki. Yeah. Reiki helps me so much, and just move through the emotions and to find clarity in the storm. I cried. I absolutely cried. I gave myself time to grieve and I didn't leave the bed. I cried so much that my eyes couldn't even open. They were that puffy.
Yeah.
And I think we can't shy away from our sadness. We can't bottle that up because it can just get worse. So I definitely allowed myself to grieve. And then there was one day where I was like, Matt Bron, have a shower, get up and get out of the house. Mm-hmm. And I did. And it's just baby steps.
Yeah.
You just got to work through it.
And there's no manual that says this is the right thing or the wrong thing to do. I feel like everyone will go through the grieving process in their own different ways. And, you know, it's no one really knows how to get through it.
Absolutely.
What do you do to kind of remain positive? Because that's what I like about you, is that every time I see you on Instagram, even though you've had the shittest day, you're still positive, if that makes sense. Like, you'll acknowledge, okay, I'm just in a bad mood today, but you always are just like, it's like sun is shining out of your skin, you know what I mean? You're just a ray of sunshine. How do you...
I just figure, I always say to myself, there's always someone worse off than me, so I shouldn't be down in the dumps for something shit that's happened. I can use that experience and make myself stronger and better. And if it happens again, it happens again. I just have to keep looking forward and not looking back. Yeah. I wish I had the perfect answer for that. Yeah. But I just in a shit time, try and smile.
Yeah.
And it's crazy the mood that can shift from that.
Yep, definitely.
I read a lot of quotes too.
Yeah. And I love what you do. I've seen on Instagram, maybe like last year, you do those random acts of kindness around Christmas.
Yeah.
So can you explain to the listeners what you do there?
Oh, so every year me and my sons have created 3 gifts. And basically we get these gifts, we go out into public, 3 different locations, and we just go up to a stranger and say, "Hi, my name is Bronwyn, Ray and Mac, and we want to give you a present for Christmas." It's a pay it forward, random act of kindness, whatever you want to call it, and we just wish you a Merry Christmas. And in the card, we might have some scratchies and tell a story on how we do it. And in the card, we say, if you feel like it, maybe you can pay it forward one day soon.
Yeah.
And last year, we went to a retirement village. We had a firefighter, and we had someone at the post office. And I remember the lady at the post office, I remember going in, I said, I'm sure you get thousands of parcels every day and none of them are for you, so this one's for you. Oh, and she started crying. It was so beautiful.
That's so
it was
lovely.
Amazing. Yeah, that is, it was so beautiful. So it's such an amazing tradition that we have for our family, and I know heaps of people that have started doing it too. So
yeah,
just to make someone's day.
I think that's the perfect summary to explain what your personality is like. Right there, that's you in a nutshell. You know what I mean? It's so beautiful. I think the boys are so proud to have you as their mum. Do the boys understand what's happened recently?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one thing I didn't ever want to shy my kids away from, was the truth. And I can tell you, my kids are 5 and 6, and they know how a baby is made from a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
They know what an embryo is, they know what an egg is, they know what sperm is, and they know how it's implanted. We tell them everything, and even down to, so my miscarriage I had November last year, my husband was away. He was actually underground at the time, so I couldn't even call him.
Oh.
And I knew that it was about to start happening, so I got the boys set up on my bed, I gave them the laptop, I put a movie on, gave them some snacks. Mind you, I'm swaying through contractions at this point. And sat them on the bed and I said, look, boys, mummy is unfortunately losing the baby, which means the baby doesn't have a heartbeat anymore. And it just means that I have to birth it. Sorry, I didn't know whether that was a boy or a girl, that one. Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay. And they saw the blood. And I know there might be a lot of people thinking, oh my gosh, kids shouldn't see that stuff. But one day that might be their wife going through something like this, and they'll have a greater understanding of what to do, what not to do, all that kind of stuff. So I literally birthed our baby in the shower whilst my sons sat and watched a movie in the next room. And afterwards I got cleaned up, showered. It was a long time for this baby to come out. I think all up it was about 6 hours. And afterwards I ended up showering, getting changed, hopping into bed and explaining to the boys. And I remember them just hugging me and patting my head, and it was just the most beautiful thing for them to have that understanding. So when we lost Sage, we sat them down and we explained again, unfortunately, babies, the baby in mummy's belly's heart stopped beating, which means it's no longer living, and this baby has to come out of mummy's body and she'll have to go into hospital. And we explained everything. We didn't shy away, although when we did have her cremated, because we did it at home, I was unsure if I should have shared that, but my eldest son knew exactly what was happening.
Mm.
He's like, that's baby, isn't it? And we're like, yeah, yeah, mate, it is.
Yeah.
And I remember standing around the fire and Ray looked at us and he said, I think all of our family is surrounding us at the moment. And yeah. I was like, oh my God, like the feeling of how in tune my sons are is just like, it makes my heart explode. So how they cope through it, we talk to them. We ask them how they're feeling and they tell us. They both had a big cry and that surprised me. But I was also comforted by it as well, that they feel that emotion.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
that's amazing. I think that's so beautiful, like your parenting style, how open you and Tony both are with the boys to allow them to go through that with you as well. So you, so when did you then get onto Tony after the first miscarriage?
So it wasn't until he came above ground. So he would be underground for about 10 hours of a day. And by that time, baby had passed and passed through, I should say. And I called him and I was literally on the toilet passing clots and I said, unfortunately, baby's gone. And I felt for him so much because of being at such a distance, knowing what's going on at home, and he couldn't even cuddle us. All we had was FaceTime. And I felt for him so much in the process. But I will say, when we lost Sage, I was so happy that he was home.
Yeah.
I was so happy that he could come to the ultrasound. And even in the shit situation it was, we had each other. And I know IVF can break up marriages and it can start lots of arguments, but it's just something we've promised each other for it to never come between us, and we do this together. And if anything, IVF has made us stronger. I love my husband more because of IVF.
Yeah, it's brought you closer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For anyone who is currently going through IVF or has recently lost a child, what would you say? Because I feel like a lot of people who know someone who have recently lost someone, sometimes people just don't know what to say, so they just don't say anything, which I think is sometimes worse, because then it makes you feel like the person, it would make you feel like people don't care or they're just being ignorant to the situation. I feel like a lot of people don't know what to say. So do you have any advice around how to go about this?
Exactly what you just said. Saying nothing is worse than saying something. So always say something, even if it's, I'm thinking of you. Just make that contact. Don't even ask, what can I do for you? Do something for him. You know, if think of when you're in a bad mood, what would you want? You know, or if you're upset, what would you want? Do something to comfort the person. There's no right thing to say, because unfortunately it doesn't matter what you do say, it's not going to heal that wound. But just knowing that you're there for support is important.
I know you've kind of touched on it, but looking back on this whole experience, reflecting, what has this whole journey taught you?
How important family is. How important family is, and to never take anything for granted with my children.
Yeah.
I'm one of the lucky ones. I already have children. I really am so lucky. And there's some women out there that are still struggling for their first baby. And, oh, my God, if I say this all the time to my followers, if I had a magic wand and I could just grant everyone what they wanted, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, life gives us these journeys. It teaches us things. It breaks us down. It brings us back up again. And it makes us stronger.
Yeah. I'm so inspired just from listening to you. I'm sorry if my responses when you talk are a little bit all over this place, but I'm literally just sitting here in awe as to how amazing of a woman you are and how you can be so incredibly strong given this shitty situation that you and your family have currently been through. So where are you guys at now? Are you planning on starting again? Trying again, or?
I'm booked in for the 1st of July. So I'm booked in for, sorry, I'm going to have a quick drink.
Yeah. I've got a tea here too, but people can't see us. But yeah.
Although I talk a lot, it's so different when I'm on podcasts because I just talk 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So we have our first appointment booked for the 1st of July with my obstetrician. Now, basically what's going to happen at that appointment is a rundown of everything that happened with our last cycle, the miscarriage, what we could do differently next cycle, and also putting in a fertility plan for our last embryo. Mm-hmm. Now, we as a family have decided that our fifth round will be our last round. If for certain reasons it doesn't take, or if something happens, we're still going to try, but naturally.
Yeah.
Infertility sucks. Secondary infertility sucks. They all suck. But I know that there's a third baby out there for us. It's just how we're going to make that happen. It's a mystery at the moment. So we're just going to try everything.
Yeah. Well, myself and I think everyone who follows your journey will literally be awaiting that day for you. And the day that it happens, I tell you, I am going to be screaming from the top of my lungs with excitement for you, because you are so deserving of this, Bron, and I honestly wish you all the best with it. So what are some of your goals this year, apart from the obvious? So with your business, what are you hoping to do with your business?
Oh, gosh, honestly, I have like a Santa Claus list of all the things at the moment. It's insane. So Sunshine Coast Doula Services is creating weekly and monthly events for women for all types of support. So obviously doula support, but there's pre and postpartum services available. There'll also be group counselling sessions for women of loss, also birth story events where people that may have had a traumatic birth get to talk about it, express it, feel heard. And then with the Soul Bath, I am just doing my thing, doing daily Reiki sessions mm-hmm. in person and over the phone. Actually, this week I have someone from Brooklyn in New York.
Wow.
So I have had so many people from America. It's unreal. I love it so much.
So cool.
And then only just this week I've been organizing with a girlfriend of mine little bliss events. So Reiki sessions, sound bowl healing, meditation, and just small intimate groups once a month.
Yeah, wow. I'm really excited to watch
and
this.
Somewhere in there I've got to fit in a baby.
Yes.
Somewhere I'm going to fit in when I'm sick again.
Yeah.
Bring a baby to this world.
Yeah. So for those listening who aren't familiar with what Reiki is or what a doula is, can you quickly explain those?
Yeah, absolutely. So Reiki is energy healing. So the energy, I've been attuned to the energy healing that will flow through me and flows through to you through my hands. So I get guided to certain parts of your body and I tune in and send the Reiki healing. It might be through emotional blocks, trauma, you may have injuries, and I get guided through that way. Now, I always have a plan with my Reiki sessions, but sometimes as soon as I tune in, I get guidance from guides, spirits, angels, whatever you call them, or I have people from that person's family come through. And then it can change as well. So I'm able to connect with spirits for messages also.
Wow.
With a doula. It's very, it's
beautiful. I just got shivers. I absolutely love it. Got shivers all down my spine.
So with the doula, we are birth keepers. We are support for the woman and the family of the child to be. We are everything you need in that time. We help with breathing techniques, positions. If the husband needs a break and needs to go get a coffee, we'll take the fort for him. Anything that that mother needs in that special time, we're there for her.
Yeah.
Sorry, that is my dog.
That's okay.
You just heard him.
That's okay. I think you can hear Lenny in the first half of it as well. So they want to play.
Yeah.
Do you have an Instagram for the doula as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's Sunshine Coast Doula Services.
Cool. So we can find you there as well.
Yep.
Or maybe when I'm finally ready to have a baby, I know who to call. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'll have to come in and have a Reiki session. I wonder what energies you'll pick up. Maybe my liver might need a little bit of help because I had a couple wines last night.
Oh. We'll cleanse it for you.
Yes, please. Bron, I want to say thank you so, so, so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your story today. I definitely feel very moved from, you know, listening to you open up about your struggles and your journey. And I hope that anyone who listens to this, who is going through IVF or has had a recent miscarriage, feels some sort of comfort and feels like they're not alone. So honestly, thank you so much. And
thank you.
Yeah. And it's amazing what you're doing on Instagram, being so vulnerable and sharing your experience. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
and I hope everyone listening, we can send you some positive energy. I'm not sure what the technical word is in Reiki, but everyone listening, please send Bron some happy, good energy vibes and wish her all the best for her next IVF round.
Thank you so much, beautiful.
Thanks, Bron. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you have a topic you would like me to discuss, or if you or anyone you know has an inspiring story, please let me know. I would love to create a conversation about things that are sometimes a little bit hard to talk about. It would mean so much to me if you could give this podcast a review, a rating, and subscribe to make sure that you don't miss out on any future episodes. Thanks for listening.